What if the biggest limit to AI's growth isn't computing power, but the simple wires connecting the chips? As AI clusters scale to tens of thousands of GPUs, the industry is discovering that the next great bottleneck is connectivity, and the race to solve it has ignited over $15 billion in investments and M&A in just the last year. This isn't about faster chips, it's about the superhighways of light being built between them. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're looking past the AI software headlines to the fundamental hardware revolution happening underneath. The explosive growth of AI is forcing a once-in-a-generation shift inside data centers, moving from copper wires to light-speed optical connections. We'll break down what this means for the companies building this new infrastructure, and more importantly, for the Western manufacturers and traders who will depend on it.
Exactly, Susie. This isn't just a component upgrade. It's a complete architectural redesign of the data center, driven by necessity. The power consumption and data bottlenecks of traditional copper have reached a physical limit. The industry solution is silicon photonics, and the investment is staggering.
Okay, Troy, let's start there. Over $15 billion in investments in a sector most people haven't even heard of. What is silicon photonics, and why is it suddenly the most important technology in AI?
Silicon photonics uses light, or photons, to move data between chips rather than electricity through copper wires. It's built using standard semiconductor manufacturing processes, making it scalable and cost-effective. It matters now because AI models require tens of thousands of GPUs to talk to each other simultaneously with minimal delay. Copper can't handle that data volume or the power required. It's like trying to fill a lake with a garden hose.
So we're replacing the garden hose with a fire hose made of light. What does this look like in practice?
It's leading to a new class of components. We're seeing the rapid adoption of 1.6 terabit per second optical modules from companies like SuperX. But the real game changer is co-packaged optics, or CPO. This technology shrinks the optical engine and places it inside the same package as the main AI processor. An analysis from EqualOcean shows that CPO can slash power consumption for an 800G port by up to 68% compared to current pluggable modules.
A 68% power reduction is a massive number for data center operators. How does this directly impact US and European manufacturers who aren't in the chip business?
For manufacturers using AI for design, simulation, or logistics, this means the cost of complex computation will fall and the speed will increase. This enhances their competitive ability to innovate. However, it also means the barrier to entry for competitors to leverage powerful AI is also lowering. The key is who can integrate these faster, cheaper AI capabilities into their core business processes first.
And for trading companies and distributors in the electronic space?
They need to understand that the center of gravity is shifting. Demand for traditional copper interconnects for high-performance computing will wane. The money is flowing into optical components. McKinsey forecasts significant shortages of 800G and 1.6T transceivers by 2027. Companies like Lumentum already have a 5-year order backlog. Securing supply of these next-gen components is now a primary strategic concern.
So, what's the actionable insight for executives listening?
First, if you're a user of AI, you need to ask your cloud and IT infrastructure providers about their roadmap for adopting optical interconnects. It will directly impact the future performance and cost of your AI workloads. Second, if you are anywhere in the technology supply chain, you must remap your ecosystem. The value is concentrating in companies with silicon photonics expertise.
Troy, you mentioned co-packaged optics, or CPO, as the game changer. But the articles also mention a rival, or maybe a sibling technology, near-packaged optics, or NPO. What's the difference, and why does it matter?
It's a crucial distinction that defines the industry's roadmap for the next 5 years. CPO is the ultimate goal, the holy grail as some call it, fully integrating optics and silicon in one package for maximum efficiency. But it's incredibly difficult to manufacture, test, and manage the heat. NPO is a pragmatic intermediate step. It places the optical module extremely close to the main chip, but not inside the same package.
So NPO is the evolutionary step, and CPO is the revolutionary leap.
Precisely. And this has created a timeline that businesses can plan around. Industry consensus, noted by firms like Credo and Astera Labs, predicts a broad transition to NPO by 2027 or 2028, with CPO becoming mainstream around 2029. This phased approach mitigates risk. NPO offers many of the benefits of CPO, like lower power consumption, but is compatible with existing manufacturing processes and allows for easier serviceability since the laser sources can be replaced separately.
This sounds like a neat and tidy plan, but we've seen market volatility. Stocks for optical players like Coherent and Lumentum have seen sharp drops recently. Does this suggest the market is nervous about this timeline?
The market is nervous about execution risk and hyperscaler spending. The transition to CPO is technically very challenging. Any perceived delay in its deployment creates uncertainty. If a major cloud provider like Google or Meta pushes out their CPO adoption timeline, it has a ripple effect across the entire supply chain. This is why a company like Credo is championing NPO so strongly. It offers a de-risk path to higher performance without waiting for CPO to fully mature.
So for European manufacturers, what does this NPO then CPO roadmap mean for their own technology adoption?
It means they should anticipate a significant jump in compute performance and efficiency becoming available in the 2027-2028 timeframe. They should be planning pilot projects now to take advantage of the capabilities NPO will unlock. Waiting until 2029 for the CPO revolution means you'll already be 2 years behind the curve.
And for trading companies sourcing components?
The message is diversification. The next 3 to 4 years will be an NPO-driven market. They need to secure relationships with suppliers who have proven NPO solutions, but they must also watch CPO developments closely. The key players in NPO may not be the ultimate winners in CPO. It's about managing market timing and technology risk in your supplier base.
So the actionable takeaway is to plan for a two-stage revolution?
Yes. Plan your own AI infrastructure upgrades around the NPO wave coming in 2027. And for anyone in the supply chain, balance your portfolio between the immediate NPO opportunity and the longer-term, higher-risk, higher-reward CPO market.
With billions flowing into this technology, there must be a frantic race to build the factories and secure the materials. Who is actually building the infrastructure for this optical revolution?
That is the most critical question, and it's a global scramble. It starts with the foundries. TSMC, the world's leading chipmaker, has openly stated that demand for its CoWoS advanced packaging, which is essential for integrating AI accelerators and memory, is massively outstripping supply. Expanding that capacity is their number one short-term priority.
So the bottleneck starts at the most fundamental manufacturing level. How are the big players responding?
With huge strategic investments. NVIDIA is a prime example. They are not just designing chips, they are securing their supply chain. They've invested a staggering $4 billion combined into Coherent and Lumentum, two key US-based optical component makers. Just recently, NVIDIA's $2 billion investment in Coherent was earmarked to help quadruple production at its indium phosphide wafer fab in Texas.
NVIDIA is essentially funding the factory expansion of its own suppliers. That's a powerful statement. Is this happening in Europe and Asia as well?
Absolutely. Europe's ST Microelectronics just secured a major order from a Chinese optical transceiver firm for its new PIC100 silicon photonics chip. They've announced plans to quadruple their 300mm silicon photonics capacity by 2027. In China, Source Photonics is investing $1.2 billion in a new optical chip and module production facility. This is a global capacity build-out on an unprecedented scale.
This sounds like it has significant geopolitical implications, especially for U.S. and European industrial strategy.
It does. The U.S. Commerce Department recently committed $2 billion to 9 quantum companies, with $1.8 billion going to firms building quantum foundries. The explicit goal is to create the next TSMC for quantum and AI-related semiconductors on U.S. soil. GlobalFoundries is already manufacturing silicon photonic chips for PsiQuantum in New York. This is about supply chain resilience and technological sovereignty.
For a U.S. or European manufacturer, what's the immediate threat and opportunity here?
The threat is supply chain consolidation. A few key players, NVIDIA, Broadcom, Marvel, and their funded partners, are gaining immense control over the critical components for AI infrastructure. The opportunity lies in specialization. There's a battle over the core materials themselves, traditional silicon photonics, indium phosphide, and a new challenger, thin film lithium niobate, where companies like Hyperlight just raised $80 million. European firms with deep material science or advanced packaging expertise have a window to become critical suppliers.
And for distributors and trading firms?
The geography of manufacturing is being redrawn. You need to understand the implications of the U.S. CHIPS Act and similar European initiatives. Sourcing from these newly funded domestic fabs, like Nokia's expanding packaging facility in Pennsylvania, could offer more stable and resilient supply chains compared to relying solely on Asia. It's time to reevaluate your sourcing maps.
So, the final actionable point for our listeners?
Executives must treat the optical component supply chain with the same strategic importance as the chips themselves. Investigate the new materials like thin-film lithium niobate and understand which companies are leading. And actively explore opportunities to align with the push for domestic manufacturing in both the U.S. and Europe to de-risk your future supply.
All right, Troy, let's distill this into a strategic summary for our listeners. This has been a deep dive into the plumbing of AI, but the implications are vast. What are the three key takeaways from this week?
First, the primary bottleneck in scaling AI is no longer just compute power, it is data movement. The industry is responding with a seismic shift from copper to optical interconnects, a transition that will redefine data center economics and performance for the next decade.
Second,
this transition is not instantaneous. It will happen in two phases, near package optics by 2027, followed by the more integrated co-packaged optics by 2029. This roadmap presents both a clear opportunity for near-term upgrades and a significant technology risk for companies that bet on the wrong timeline or supplier.
And the final, most critical takeaway for Western companies.
A global multi-billion dollar race to build the optical manufacturing supply chain is underway. It's driven by strategic investments from giants like NVIDIA and government initiatives in the US and EU. For manufacturers and distributors, this is a critical moment to reevaluate supply chain resilience, explore new materials and suppliers, and align with the push for domestic production. Ignoring this foundational layer of the AI stack is a strategic error.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. The race to build the physical infrastructure for AI is just as intense as the race to build the models themselves, and we'll continue to track the key developments for you. Troy, thank you.
My pleasure, Susie.
Join us next week for Troy Technical Intelligence. To make sure you don't miss it, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Until then, I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy. Goodbye.